The Delta Queen, built in the 1920s, was purchased by the Green Line of Cincinnati in 1946. And though it changed ownership several times throughout the years, the mighty steamboat cruised the waters of the Ohio, Mississippi, Tennessee, and Cumberland Rivers. That ended in 2008 when the exemption for the paddle wheeler from the Safety at Sea Act expired, meaning it could no longer carry overnight passengers. Fans of the Delta Queen have since been trying to get Congress to renew that exemption so the steamboat can once again cruise the rivers. In the meantime, the Queen has been located in Chattanooga, Tennessee, serving as a hotel and a restaurant. And joining us for a look at the past, present, and future of the Delta Queen are former Captain Don Sanders, Philip Johnson, one of the Delta Queen's current owners, and Dan Hurley, president of Applied History Associates and host and producer of 12 Newsmakers on WKRC-TV. You can join our conversation this afternoon at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Dan, Philip, and Don, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Good to be here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here, Mark.
Dan, just how much history is wrapped up in the Delta Queen? I mean, it's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Well, I mean, there's a lot because it spans that whole 20th century into the 21st century, and it's the sort of the one connection, especially for Cincinnatians, because this was the home port that people really have with that style of really elaborate excursion boats. I mean, it harkens back to the past, but it was much different than the earlier boats. But it just is this connection through time. It's amazing.
That's an interesting way to put it. A connection through time. Now, where was the Delta Queen built?
Well, that's an interesting point because, you know, we think today that we talk about international trade and international things. The Delta Queen was pieces of it came from all over the world. So you can the hulls were originally fabricated in Scotland. And by the way, there were two boats. One was the Delta Queen and one was the Delta King. They're twins. Okay, so the hulls were fabricated in Scotland, then broken down and shipped to Stockton, California. Whereas some of the materials for the paddle wheel, the shafts and the cranks, they were manufactured at Krupp Works in Germany. And then even the wood on the deck ported from Thailand. So this is an international.
It's a really global. It's a global effort.
But it was shipped out to Stockton, California, and then it is the Superworks and everything is assembled and built there. So it's American craftspeople who are putting together this elaborate boat that we know, or those of us who have had the privilege of being on it. No. So it comes from all over the world. And that was done in that period, 1924 to 1927. And then it goes into service on the Sacramento River in California. And it works there until 1940. And that's its initial phase of life.
So how much did it cost to build the Delta Queen and the Delta? I think it was the King was the sister ship.
Yeah, the Delta ship. King and Delta Queen were coined back in the day as the million-dollar twins because at the time you could build a steamboat for, you know, $100,000 or less and be a respectable boat. But the Delta King and Delta Queen with all new machinery, all new everything, brand new, was about $850,000 each. And then you had to add all the furniture and furnishings. So that's where they got the nickname, the million-dollar twins. They were truly the most lavish steamboats built and really built on the very tail end of the era. And kind of ironic thing, just a few, what was about 19, 20 years later after entering service, these million-dollar boats sold at the U.S. Navy auction for $46,000.
Hmm. So what was the role that the Delta Queen played during World War II?
Once the war broke out, the two boats were requisitioned by the U.S. Navy, and their primary function was to act as housing or accommodation ships there in San Francisco Bay Area. But then when the war really kicked off, a new purpose for them was to ferry troops from the shallow water ports and the rivers out to the deep water where the ships would be waiting. And the legend goes, I don't know if we've seen it proven, but the legend is that the Delta Queen was one of the very first vessels to receive injured troops coming back from Pearl Harbor. So she's got a very interesting tie to World War II.
One thing to know about that, though, is it didn't look like the Delta Queen we knew.
Oh,
the military painted it gray, like they painted everything else, and sort of blacked out lots of stuff. So this is not the grand experience that the soldiers were getting in that period.
Yeah, they also call them yard ferry boats. The Delta Queen was yard ferry boat 56.
Yeah.
And 55 was a Delta King.
So, Don, tell us about your experience with the Delta Queen. You were the captain for several years, and how did you get started on all this?
Well, I started actually on the old steamer Avalon. Uh-huh. At 17 years old, ran away from home, I always say, and spent a couple years on the Avalon. And then when the Avalon quit running, my big captain, Ernie Wagner, Captain Ernest E. Wagner, and Captain Doc Hawley, Captain Clark Doc Hawley, well-known in Cincinnati, went to the Delta Queen as captain and first mate and relief captain. In 1965, I graduated from college. They made a job for me as a night watchman. And after as a relief night watchman, and after the old guys came back from vacation, I went in the engine room and I stayed there until a few months. And then I went in the Air Force, became an officer in the Air Force, came back to Delta Queen, and Captain Wagner says, "Well, do you want to go back in the engine room or do you want to go on deck?" I said, "Cap, I want to go on deck." And the reason I did, I wanted to become captain. 6 months later, I was first mate, second in command. A year later, I shared command with Captain Wagner.
What's it like to be the captain of a paddle wheeler?
It's pretty heady, I tell you. I had the training. I was trained by Captain Wagner since I was 17. And apparently he was satisfied with my performance on there because he trusted me. And here I wasn't even 30 years old. And to entrust me with all this responsibility and whatever. But I also had some really fine other old-time steamboat men, pilots working with me. And I don't think they let me do anything wrong.
Well, so what are your favorite memories?
Oh, I have so many memories. I think, as I keep mentioning Captain Wagner, I think Captain Wagner died over 30 years ago, actually on my birthday, 1979. There's just the people and the crew. That's who I remember. I remember the crew. I remember the boat. I remember the old pilots. I remember the young kids coming in as deckhands, all grown up now, telling me that was the best time of their life. Just all those wonderful experiences all put together, and it just to break out any one thing, it's hard to do. It's just a great big stew of wonderful days.
Wow. Some of us are trying to get Don to write a book, but...
Yeah, it sounds like maybe you should there, Don.
I think Facebook has been my book.
Captain Fred Way, who had a connection to the Delta Queen, piloted it up from New Orleans to Pittsburgh when it first came onto the inland rivers. He had this phrase that he liked saying was, being a steamboat captain was 90% being bored to death and 10% being scared to death. Was that your experience?
Probably at times it was. There were a couple times we don't have time to relate, but I don't even want to remember. But there's a couple times that Captain Wagner actually came and got me out of some trouble that I got the boat into. And I was so thankful that I had – then I was thankful that I kind of just let Cap come in and get me out of that hot spot. And sometimes that 10% is right.
So how many miles has the Delta Queen logged, and how many passengers has it carried during its time as a passenger ship?
I think the number that we've heard thrown around, I'm sure it's quite an approximation because we're talking 90 years of service almost, is about 4 million miles, which, you know, some people think that doesn't sound like a huge number given the years, but when you think this boat only travels about 8 miles per hour, that's a lot of miles. I wouldn't even begin to guess the number of passengers. It'd be in the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah. When was the last time that Cincinnati was its home port?
That would have been back about 1985, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm. At that time, I guess it still was under the exemption, right? So it was still carrying
Yes, yeah, since 1970, the boat has had, I think, 9 exemptions. So these exemptions had been renewed time and time again, and really people never heard much about them because it was almost unanimous decision, and it was a bipartisan effort, and the boat has got an impeccable safety record. I mean, all her time, I don't think you can attribute a single death to the fault of the Delta Queen. She's really, given everything she's been through, has an impeccable safety record.
You might want to explain what the law does.
It's the Safety at Sea Act.
Oh, yeah.
Of 1966.
Yeah, in 65 or 66, a vessel off the coast of Florida, about 90 miles off the coast, which is important, 90 miles away from land, the Yarmouth Castle burned, and it was a steel-hulled ship that had a wooden superstructure. And a number of Americans perished in that fire. And as a result, Congress, you know, responsibly wanted to take action to prevent that from happening again. So the Safety at Sea Act was passed, and there was some verbiage in there that said any vessel carrying more than 50 passengers with overnight accommodations must be made of entirely non-combustible materials. And then the tagline that embroiled the Delta Queen, this lone little river steamboat, in the Safety at Sea Act was the fact that said all vessels, foreign or domestic, in trade in the U.S. So as a result, the Delta Queen was, you know, part of that, and she was no longer able to carry passengers once this law was enacted. So through a very big campaign to save the boat back in the 70s, spearheaded largely out of Cincinnati by Betty Blake and Bill Muster and a lot of the celebrities of the time, Johnny Cash and whatnot, the Carpenters, they were successful in convincing Congress that, hey, look, this boat wasn't intended to fall under this law. It was the only vessel operating on the river at the time. And so Congress passed an exemption. And then each year, or not each year, I think there was 2 years and then 4 years, and then eventually it became a 10-year exemption. They would review that, and they would look at the Delta Queen safety record. And the owners, really, starting as early as the 70s, but a very concentrated effort starting in the 90s, were making upgrades to the vessel. I mean, she's got a state-of-the-art sprinkler system, a state-of-the-art fire detection system. There's over 1,200 sprinkler heads on the Delta Queen. There's over 300 smoke, flame, and heat detection sensors. I mean, you can't so much as light a cigarette on that boat without the pilot house and the engine room finding out.
So what you're saying, Philip, is there are no wooden steamboats on any U.S. waterways at this point because of the law?
That's correct. Not in active service. The Delta Queen was the last one.
Okay. We will continue our conversation. You can join us, 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU, and we're talking about the Delta Queen steamboat with former Captain Don Sanders, Philip Johnson, one of the Delta Queen's current owners, and Dan Hurley, president of Applied History Associates and host and producer of 12 Newsmakers on WKRC-TV. You can join our discussion, 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. The music reminds me, I wanted to ask you about this, Philip. Is the Calliope still in use?
The Calliope is still there. It's still on the boat. When the boat was operating as a hotel in Chattanooga after the exemption expired, the Calliope was used frequently. But once the hotel closed and we moved the boat down to Louisiana, all the shiny brass and gold components of it have been removed and safely put away. But in a matter of a couple hours, if we had steam on the boat, we could have that Calliope singing again.
So I have to correct myself. I thought the last spot was Chattanooga, but now it's in Louisiana. Okay.
Yes. Well, we purchased the boat. I'm part of a group of, there's four principal owners and a handful of minority investors. And we purchased the boat in February of 2015, and then shortly thereafter moved her down to Houma, Louisiana, where most of the shipyard work will take place once the exemption is passed. The Delta Queen's an odd size. She's really too big for any dry dock on the upper rivers because she's much larger than a towboat, which is typically the largest thing dry docked up here. But you get her down in the south, and she's very small. So, about the only place we can do all that work is down south.
Well, what are the dimensions of the Delta Queen?
She's 285 foot long, about 60 feet wide, and with the smokestack up, about 70 feet tall.
Wow. So you were saying that the exemptions were renewed, what, nine times? Is that?
I believe that's the count, eight or nine times, yes.
What happened the last time around that it didn't get renewed?
There's a lot of debate about that. And I think really the answer is in 2006, all of the river boats on the river were purchased by one company. So you had a company out there that had this new brand, a new vision that they wanted for all the boats. And I think, unfortunately, it just didn't include something as special and unique as the Delta Queen. And they didn't put a lot of effort in doing the right things and taking the right steps to ensure that exemption was renewed. And unfortunately, you know, Congress is very busy. And since it wasn't made a high priority to the ownership at the time, it was allowed to lapse. So that's what we've been working to overcome.
My understanding is that another component of that was that there was a labor dispute between the ownership and the people who worked on the boat. And what that then does is tumbles into Congress and becomes a partisan issue about who's willing to support and who's not. So what you had when that was being just before and right after, I remember Congressman Steve Chabot was very strong trying to save the boat, but the real issue was not being addressed in terms of the labor question as well.
To add some background to that and to Dan's point, the Delta Queen was represented by a unionized workforce from the 70s up until about 2006 when that ownership change happened. And that very well may have played a role in why they were not able to garner much support from key people they needed in Congress. Me and the other owners have, our ties go back to the 90s when the boat was operated under union crews. And we feel confident that having the union crews gave us the training and the stability that made the Delta Queen one of the safer boats on the river due to the training that her crews had. And so when we purchased the boat, one of the first things we did was to re-engage some of the former crew and some of the former union representatives of the crew and say, hey, do you think this is something doable? And we feel it is. So that's why we're still here and why we're still working towards it.
How large would the crew be for a fully operational Queen that's cruising the rivers?
75 to 80 people. And that would include everyone from the captain down to the maintenance guy and entertainment. So lock, stock, and barrel, about 80 people to serve the 176 passengers that she can carry today.
So what kind of support do you have for renewing the exemption? Do you have anybody in Congress who's pushing on this for you?
Oh, yeah. Cincinnati's own Congressman Steve Chabot has been one of the biggest champions for the Delta Queen, going back all the way to when the boat originally lost its exemption.
Right.
And he just recently introduced House Bill 619, H.R. 619, and provides the language to exempt the Delta Queen again. And then on the Senate side, we've had a lot of support from Ohio previously, and more recently, Senator Claire McCaskill from Missouri has really spearheaded the effort and made some progress. So it's truly Claire McCaskill, she's from the Democratic side, and then you got Steve Chabot from the Republican side. This truly is a bipartisan issue because it's going to cost the taxpayers not a single dollar to generate all this economic impact and put, you know, 250 people back to work between the office and then the crews on the boat.
513-419-7100 to join us. And Joel has a question for us. Hi, Joel.
Hello. Really interesting. And it would be exciting to see the Delta Queen in Cincinnati again. I'm curious, you said earlier that the one of its first missions, I think, was in Sacramento. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yes.
Yeah. How did the vessel get from Sacramento River to the Ohio River? How did you guys, or not you guys, but whoever was in charge at the time, how did that, what was the route?
Well, this, I mean, it's interesting because it's a ocean route and it extended over 5,000 miles. So it's a very unusual thing for a river, shallow draft river boat to be ebbed done. But it was pulled, and it was pulled through the Panama Canal and then up to the port of New Orleans. And then once it was at New Orleans, it was put into a condition where it could go under its own power. And that's when it was then taken from New Orleans up to the yards on Neville Island near Pittsburgh for reconstruction, refitting. And that, Captain Fred Way, was the person who was in charge of that trip. But the ocean trip, it wasn't under its own power. It was being pulled by a tug.
Yeah, Joel, there's some really interesting photos on the internet. It wouldn't take long to find them. The boat was boarded up like a giant piano box and towed. She was actually the first flat-bottomed river boat to ever transit the Panama Canal. And really, I doubt many more have done it since, because it's a duck out of water for sure.
You know, there were times, Joel, that I'd be on the Delta Queen and it would be in a storm. But I remembered the trip kept coming around from California. Off the Yucatan Peninsula, the boat pitched up 40 degrees and rolled 30. So if it could take that, it could sure take a storm on the Ohio and Mississippi rivers.
Don, can anyone with a river pilot's license captain a paddle wheeler, or do you have to have special training and a special set of skills to do that?
Well, you have to have passenger boat experience. My brother likened my master's examination to his law degree. A bar exam, so it's, wow. It's very extensive, 3 days of writing, plus you have to have so much time, then you have to have experienced people to sign off saying that you're competent enough to take the test. But it's a hands-on type of experience. We call them coming up through the hawse pipe. I'm a hawse piper.
Stephanie in Sailor Park joins us now. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yep, go right ahead.
I want to make a comment. Oh, sure. I want to make a comment in support of the economic impact that the Delta Queen has had and continues to have in the state of Ohio. I come from Marietta, which is the home of the Stern Wheel Festival for Ohio every year. And that festival relies on historical ships like the Delta Queen to draw tourism to that area. And without a ship like a Delta Queen, we're going to lose millions of dollars within that area every single year. So I just want to let the owners know how much the area of Marietta really appreciates the work that they do to maintain and update and bring a ship like that back to that area.
Oh, we appreciate the call, and we really appreciate towns like Marietta and Paducah and Cincinnati. And, you know, the Delta Queen may be in Louisiana, but I think everyone knows her heart has always been Cincinnati ever since she arrived here in 1946. So our whole goal is to get that boat back up here on the Ohio and the Mississippi. And you better believe Marietta will be one of our stops.
Philip, how much support are you getting from fans of the Delta Queen?
Oh, I don't even know how to quantify it. Don played a big hand a couple years ago. There was a competition of Cincinnati landmarks, and I guess you voted on the picture to, you know, pick which one you thought was the most important or iconic of Cincinnati, and the Delta Queen, no pun intended, sailed ahead. I mean, she was the clear winner in that competition. And you know, when you talk about public support, we've also got the National Trust for Historic Preservation. Several years ago, the boat has been a National Historic Landmark since 1989, but she was named a National Treasure, which is a very strict definition, and they went through all the nominations, and the boat was actually named a National Treasure, and that's a title she'll carry indefinitely. But then most recently, because the continued plight with the exemption, she was put on the 11 most endangered list, which isn't a, you know, some people thought, well, don't you all take that as a negative thing? I said, no, that's a great thing, because, you know, this is helping spread the awareness that the Delta Queen is worthy of preserving. It should be saved. She's the last link to that type of river travel. And the only way the boat can really sustain itself and be, you know, preserved is to be able to provide itself an income to keep it going. And that's why cruising is so important. You know, we tried the hotel role. Well, the prior owners tried the hotel role, and it's just a boat is built to sail. And if she doesn't have a full crew, it's very hard to maintain a 90-year-old wooden structure. So that's, you know, that's why the owners, all Delta Queen fans, you know, we have loved the boat. Everybody who is involved has long ties to the boat. We want to see it sail, and we've worked tirelessly for almost 8 years, you know, just being able to purchase it a couple years ago to see this happen. So, you know, that might have been a lengthy, rambled answer, but that's kind of how I feel about it.
Did you want anything in, Don?
Yes. I'd like to also say that everyone listening can help to save the Delta Queen by contacting their representatives and U.S. senators and urge them to support the two bills that are out there right now to save the Delta Queen
and
bring it back.
That's an excellent point, Don. I'd like to point out, you know, it's very easy to contact your representatives. You can contact your local office, your Washington, D.C. office. Their contact information is easy to find online. Most of them have a form where you can submit it through email, fax. You can pick up the phone, a call, talk to someone. Usually a transportation aide in each office is the person who has the most information on it. But always reference that you support the Delta Queen. Senate Bill S-89 and the House Bill H.R. 619, and just urge your representatives and senators to support those measures so that we can see this boat sailing again. And not only is it to save this unique vessel, it's the economic impact she provides to these small towns is very important.
Yeah, Philip, how practical, how from a logistical standpoint, how practical would it be to get it back on the river, though?
Well, the vessel was steamed up to Chattanooga when it was taken out of service, so it's still 100% intact. There's been no real modifications, but there is some updates that need to be done. And we're confident that if given the exemption within 8 to 12 months, she could easily be back on the water with new boilers, new generators, and several updates that we've committed to the Coast Guard to make. There's been some ongoing safety concerns, very specific items such as egress off of the bow and stern of the boat. And, you know, we want the Delta Queen to be as safe as possible, too, because we want her to be preserved long term. And so we're committed to making those updates and working with the Coast Guard. And, you know, we've already hired several consultants who've been helping guide us through the process. And we've got a lot of big plans. We just have to get permission to do them.
Well, how confident are you that you're going to get that permission?
I actually feel pretty good about it. I think several things are different this time around. This is the third Congress that we've had two bills up for vote, and we're only a month into this Congress, and we're already much further ahead than we ever were before. And when I say that, I say further ahead in the process, because, for example, we had the Senate bill. The first time this went around, the House bill was passed, and then it moved to the Senate. And then it was almost ready to be voted on, and the session ended in December. So we ran out of time. And then we had to start all over again. And since it had passed the House in the first one, I think it was the 113th Congress, maybe, we focused on the Senate side in the 114th Congress. And so then we got it all the way through, and literally within the last hour, we ran out of time. So, you know, we picked up where we left off, and we feel confident that we're in the game early enough this time. We've still got great support from Mr. Shabbat and Senator McCaskill, and we think hopefully this will be the time that we get it through.
And I know when you took over as the new owners, I think you were hoping that last year would have been the year for this, but
that was our goal. Last year was our intended goal, and we got so close it motivated us to don't give up and pick up right where we left off, and that's what we did as soon as Congress got back in session, and we're working through the process with a hopeful good outcome.
Any feel for when it might happen? You think it might be this year that you get that exemption back?
Mark, I've learned many times not to give a date on this one. I'm hoping soon.
One thing that might be said, at a time when it's hard to find issues that people across the aisle can agree on. It seems like this might be one where we got a lot of big things out there that we maybe could just get this one done and take care of it and have everybody work together.
Dan, Philip, and Don, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure.
Former Captain Don Sanders, Philip Johnson, one of the Delta Queen's current owners, and Dan Hurley, president of Applied History Associates and host and producer of 12 Newsmakers on WKRC-TV. Coming up, we'll have a conversation with Canadian Consul General Douglas George about trade relations between Canada and Kentucky. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.